Yes, I wanted to take this theme of knowledge organization making a difference from its philosophical side. It's true that this is a very practically oriented chapter of ISCO, and this is a virtue of it. So I had various reviews when I proposed this. Some were positive and some were very skeptical concerning the relevance of philosophy of information for a conference devoted to actual impact of knowledge organization. So I hope to show that this can be relevant. I will discuss briefly some general philosophical points, and then I will show some actual examples of the relevance of knowledge organization. I would like to start from Luciano Floridi's work, which is now very popular among information theorists in information science too. He is an Italian professor teaching in Oxford, and his book Information, A Very Short Introduction is very much successful. And he also now is developing this philosophy of information dealing with the ethics of information, which can be connected to our team. More generally, there is a movement of thought in the last decades considering information as a basic physical quantity, not just information as a description of something other, but information as being the constituent, the essential constituent of reality. So as everything is in some way information, there are several forms of information made of bits. So the slogan of this movement is "eat from bit." Maybe the idea is not completely new, as this front page from an old book has the motto "quid non informat," that is, what doesn't inform? I don't know if the intended meaning was the same, but anyway, this is the suggestion. Floridi proposes that general ethics and philosophy could evolve, in his view, from the traditional anthropocentric ethics, which put man as the main value, and from this all beliefs derive. Recently, we have a biocentric ethics, taking account of all environmental concerns. So the good is not just the man, the human, but the good is any form of life. And Floridi proposes to generalize even more, taking information, that is any career, any bearer of information, as the good. So this is now an infocentric ethics, or also an ontocentric ethics, as anything can be information. And this is not very different from Spinoza's idea, so again something older. And an interesting consequence for us information scientists that has been noticed by Bowden and Robinson is that if information is at the core of ethics, is the good, then information science and knowledge organization, of course, becomes a very central discipline in the whole spectrum of knowledge, and not just something technical to help people to find documents and so on. So that can have intriguing consequences for us. These are Floridi's words. Being or information, which in this sense is the same, as an intrinsic value. So any informational entity has the right to persist in its own status and to flourish. And it's weird to notice that Floridi in Italian means flourish, but that's surely by chance. A logical consequence is that the contrary of information, for example, entropy in physical terms, so disorder, chaos, is evil. So indeed, Floridi says any kind of destruction, corruption, dispersion, and consumption of informational objects, that is any form of impoverishment of reality, is evil in his philosophical system. This is interesting, as I was saying, but if taken like that, simply like that, it could mean that everything has the same value, because information, everything is information. Indeed, Floridi explicitly admits that the different kinds of information cannot be seriously quantified. You cannot say, okay, this is more information than this. Everything is information, so that's just something general. To go beyond this apparent paradox, we can refer to other authors in information theory, like especially Wolfgang Hofkirchner, who is the author of the Unified Information Theory, which has been variously discussed in literature. They say there are several kinds of information instances, and especially they can be listed in several main classes, which resembles our good old integrative levels in bibliographical classifications, but can be also something more general. There is information in matter, how matter is organized into physical objects. Information in life, for example, genome is a well-known phenomenon that is described by information theories. There is clearly information in our minds, or in animals' minds, maybe. There is information, social information, and there is information in cultural heritage, including monuments, including books, including anything produced by the human. Yes, everything, all this can be described as information, but they are different kinds of it. And we can more or less identify a sequence of increasing organization in these forms of information, like these authors say, and also me and Riccardo Ridi discussed in a previous paper. In general, we can consider that any object with as an informational system that is something made of modules of several elements. These elements can be combined in various ways, and the resulting combinations can be selected by environment, and this will trigger an evolution. The well-known paradigm of this is biological evolution, but this mechanism actually happens in many forms, also in mental entities, in social entities, so-called memes, by analogy with genes, and so on. So everything can be studied by this kind of informational model. And I propose that an additional notion that can be useful in this context is that of logical depth. This has been introduced by this man, Charles Bennett, who is a researcher at IBM. He is an engineer of information, I think we can say, trying to describe how information can be modeled in computing, but also in a theoretical sense. And it proposes that logical depth is the organization resulting from long evolutionary paths. That is, complex objects, not necessarily animals, but this is a familiar example, so to grasp the idea. Complex objects, informational objects, only exist because of their previous evolutionary path. So you cannot just create that form of information from scratch. You need to have followed the whole path, and the same happens in other domains. So let's consider more deep shallow objects when talking about information. Deeper phenomena are more valuable just because of their previous history. And for example, in the case of monuments, why do we feel that destroying ancient monuments is very bad as compared to destroying, I don't know, a flower or destroying another simple object? Because this is not just a collection of stones, but it's the result of a very long historical and meaningful path. So let's try to combine Floridi's notion of information as good with Bennett's notion of logical depth. Yes, molecules or anything are valuable, but monuments are much more. So there is a graduation. In general, we could say that information is as more valuable as it is organized. And again, this idea of the value of organization of information comes. The opposite side is that destroying the physical properties in any object means destroying the whole evolutionary path. And this was noticed already by previous authors in the theory of integrative levels, like Fabelman. So deeper objects are more valuable also because they are more vulnerable. It's easier to destroy a complex and organized object than to destroy a molecule or a flower. So let's consider now some examples of deep information. One is for sure is valuable personal knowledge. That is, person who have experienced the unique events and environments in their life, and so they are bearer of a logically deep knowledge that cannot be replicated just by asking another person. So in this sense, every human, especially when he has had a long and intense life, is the bearer of a big, of a precious knowledge. To manage with this, we can care about the value of journals and diaries where this knowledge is recorded, as of course individual persons will die before sooner or later. And indeed, there are initiatives like this Italian National Diary Archive, which is has been created some years ago in a village in Tuscany, but is now working for several years, whose mission is just to collect and make valuable use of simply diaries, journals, that have been given to this foundation. And one interesting application of this has been published this year on the occasion of the centenary, 100 years after the start of World War II. In Italy, World War II started in 15, so it's 100 years. And so to give the public the sense of what war meant for common persons, several diaries have been selected and excerpts have been published from this National Diary Archive. And this is a website celebrating, in a way, the 100 years after World War II. And the organization of this website has been worked by professional information architects like Federico Badaloni. So it's something that has affected the knowledge organization community in actual applications. Another case are diaries or in general personal experience that is considered as valuable by spiritual communities or religious communities, especially in the English speaking world. There are traditions, like in the case of these Quaker journals and diaries collection in the USA, in this Haverford College, and there is another one, again, from Quakers published on the web, where personal experience is considered as a valuable mean to develop their own spirituality. So in this case, rather than a central authority like other Christian forms, Quakers and other movements believe that the experience communicated directly or recorded in diaries is an important mean of spiritual development. So again, the value of diaries. Another way of conveying personal or social or familial experience are audio and video materials homemade, like in the case of this organization, again in Italy. This is in Bologna. It is the National Archive of Our Family Films. Of course, this depends on technical means, so it basically deals with material from after the World War II, but that in this case images and sound give also a feeling of how life was in those years, while written languages may have other limitations. Okay, so this was about personal or familiar knowledge, if you want. Even knowledge organization systems may be themselves something to be recorded and used. And not all knowledge organization systems are known in literature. There are knowledge organization systems used by common people or in folk cultures that risk to be lost when these cultures change, not only in exotic countries, but also these woman is from Italy, not far from my region, in Liguria, and they had these people is now moved to cities, and then they will die. So, but they have a special knowledge of, for example, potato varieties or other products of local agriculture, and there is a research showing that these classification, this knowledge organization system of potatoes is different from that of scientific experts, and it's different in consistent ways. That is, those people are able to discriminate between different potato varieties, which are absolutely the same for the scientist, in a consistent way, so that they are not just inventing. What should we do with this value? Clearly, the history of this local culture is also kept in their knowledge organization system, so they should be at least documented or interviewed or filmed just because of the value of their knowledge. Okay, and so we can consider knowledge organization systems themselves as a case of a very high logical depth. In general, documents are possibly the deepest entities overall, just because documents gather all forms of knowledge, especially, for example, encyclopedia or such kinds of general documents. And here I mean documents in the very broad sense, like discussed by Michael Buckland in this recent paper. A document is not just a book or a website, but anything intentionally gathered in order to convey some knowledge. There is a whole section of literature on these. The famous example is that even an animal in a zoo can be a document just because it is put there with some signs explaining what it stands for, while the same animal in the wild is not a document. So documents can be considered the deepest entities overall. So to come to conclusions, yes, information is indeed something very valuable, just like Luciano Floridi suggests. But maybe we can refine this notion by considering that some forms of information are more valuable than others, and so they are worth of preserving and working on them. And especially documents and knowledge organization systems, not only published ones, but also ones in people's culture, are especially valuable. And also in this sense, knowledge organization does make a big difference.
Thank you. I'm sure there'll be questions.
Yeah, very, very interesting, sort of thought-provoking talk. Thank you. From an organisational perspective, one of the things that I was thinking about is the challenges of people never throwing anything away or destroying or deleting information. So I'm trying to reconcile that with, you know, all information is valuable. Did you have any sort of perspectives on that?
Sorry, I could hear the last part.
Yeah, it's all information is valuable is yeah. I think the scholars putting forward that sort of view, and I'm just sort of seeing that in an organisational perspective, because one of the challenges is perhaps they don't delete trash enough information, and how that sort of reconciles with that sort of philosophical principle.
Yes, of course, probably we as professionals are instinctively against any the destruction of any information, but of course there is a problem of priorities in practical life, and especially as for the cultural heritage, we are hearing about bad news from the Middle East. So, yeah. But that's just an example of the general notion, I think.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask you exactly that. I mean, if some information is more valuable than the other, how do we know which is which?
Yeah.
Who is to decide?
Yeah, Floridi says we cannot know. But I'm not speaking here about information of the different items of information of the same kind. It's not that one book is more valuable than another. That's a delicate question. But that more complex objects, this depends on the idea that everything is considered as information. This can also be discussed, but it's an increasing movement. So you know that it is more valuable in this idea because it's something more complex and more organized. So it's quite a general notion. It's not an attempt of judging the value of individual items.
But that's what, in practice, we have to do.
Yeah. Yeah, for example, things that are more existing in many. You have many items of a molecule of water, while you have only one case of the Church of St. Pancras. So in this sense, it's more unique.
More questions? We have time. 5 minutes.
Hello. This is just a comment on that last question about how you judge what is valuable. And also that the earlier point about good and evil, how you judge what is good. And let me just recount a little story from one of my clients. I used to work with people in a big multinational company who had a fabulous collection of research reports, all this stuff. It was really an amazing minefield on which lots of work had been done, not just the original research, but lots of work to organize them into a super collection.
That's an example of that.
And then and the point came where suddenly the legal department said, you must get rid of everything older than 1 year because we do not want to face litigation. They were looking at the cancer from smoking and they were thinking about the obesity problem and the liability that they knew that the stuff they'd been producing in earlier years could cause people to get fat. And they wanted all of that destroyed, and they got it all destroyed. So my point is, it's subjective deciding which information is valuable, which information is risky, and what is a good collection, and what is an evil collection.
When you're referring to information, I was wondering, like, is that referring to information to a human being, to us who can comprehend what information is? Because on the levels that you showed earlier on, where we had human-centric and then biocentric, and then information-centric, like, what is that information to? Like, who's that information for? Isn't that kind of, in a way, turning back to anthropocentric thoughts? Because, you know, it's talking about information for humans.
I should say that I'm not committed to this particular ethics. I was just presenting general trends in philosophy, in ethics philosophy. And probably we can see information in several senses. They are taking information in a very basic and general one. So everything is information. Humans are also a result of information. But of course then information as a document can be about something and can be used by humans. That's another.
So is it kind of like information is like reality or like molecules?
It's stuff. Some idea.
Independent of our observation.
An absolute sense of information,
One more.
Claudia, just going back to the point about valuing information, 2 points here. I spend a lot of my working life trying to determine what information, business information, is valuable and what's not. And there are certainly keys that we look for, including, you know, the risks to the organisation, the legislative requirements of the organisation, and so on. But again, harking back to our political forces in Australia, there's a fairly well-known case where a state archivist lost her position because the government forced her to destroy what had already been regarded as historically valuable information. And she went ahead with their request. And when the next government came in, of course, she lost her job because she'd complied with that request. But the other point I wanted to make, what's fairly popular in Australia at the moment is the concept of information being an asset, like other assets within an organisation are an asset. But with bean counters in organisation who then say, well, what's the actual value of that asset? It's incredibly difficult. Have you...
Yeah, to quantify is difficult,
exactly.
Of course.
Yes.
Thank you. I think that concludes our time.